Pretty cool. Angel in Disguise. Well, that's pretty much a theme which I will discuss on today's show, and I want to thank everybody out there for listening to When Welcome to When Pigs Fly. And this is, of course, is Andrew Fetter coming from Las Vegas, hopefully one day soon. Los Angeles, actually. I was thinking about that. Maybe that's a slight here Freudian slip here. Anyway, I wish everybody a very, very happy new year, full of unlimited abundance of happiness and health, of course. And I hope all your all endeavors come through and make through the economic hard times of these times, and possibly look at these economic hard times to look at possibly that they are just a reality of the material side, that we need to maybe focus on our spiritual side as well. But in due course, I do believe that you might be surprised, and I think within 6 months or so toward the summer, that things will ultimately change, actually, in economical terms. But I think there's going to be a major transformation in a spiritual sense, too. Anyway, I want to thank you all again, and thank you all for listening, and future listeners and past listeners. And if you have, I don't know, I'll reiterate, like I always do in most of my shows, I'd love to hear comments, questions, thoughts on your mind. Please do contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. And or you can always contact me via MySpace at MySpace, /Andrew Fetter. While you're I'm talking about it, you can also please do, I'm sure people have heard about me talking about my newly released book, which is actually the sequel to When the Angels Have Risen, The Heretic. You can check that out at andrewtheheretic.com. On the gets into the historical events that happened with Alexander the Great, but there's definitely social and political and spiritual terms within, I layered within my book, and some of it more straight out. That book also deals with reincarnation, as well as going, there is actually a methodical way of going through into your past lives through an regression process. In fact, three of my past lives I had incorporated into my book. So do check that out. It's at andrewtheheretic.com, and it's also available at all your local stores, the bookstores, or the Barnes & Noble Borders. If it's not on shelf at the time, you can always order it. It's also available online as well to Amazon and all the others. I have links, of course, on andrewtheheretic.com, and there's also a link on there to take you back to andrewfetter.com, which is, of course, the prequel of The Heretic, and that deals with the connections of extraterrestrials and biblical events. To check those out, and if you have any comments of those, please give me a holler. I love to hear comments and what you think, or aspirations and things like that. And, of course, at your leisure, please do check out my blog site, www.andrew.myufo.com. And like I said, send your thoughts about that as well, whatever's on your mind. I love hearing what people have to say, think, questions. I'm pretty well open. I also want to give a special thanks to my good friend Lewis Martin, who has set up the link for me to set up my blog site. And of course, definitely check out his, which is, of course, www.myufo.com. And he has some fascinating updates about extraterrestrial events and paranormal. Plus, he has if you want to see some cool-ass theater-style film, some of it old film noir type of stuff, black and white stuff, stuff that's locked away in the library of whatever, do check out. He has a, what's called a UFO theater, which doesn't just deal with extraterrestrial stuff, but a lot of, you know, like scary-ass movies and stuff, and almost like Twilight Zone stuff. Do check that out. And like I said, check out my past shows. We've got dealt with free energy and Tesla and out-of-body and regression, thoughts or things, Kabbalah, people who I always get questions of regarding those subjects, even about politics. As you know, I do delve in politics, both in the United States and abroad. And I will not delve into what's going on into the Middle East right now, because that'll take a whole hour just to do that show. But everybody knows my thoughts on that. Basically, for every action, there's a reaction, which will be an upcoming show. Again, do call, contact me. That's at flyingpigs@artlover.com or at myspace/AndrewFetter. Now, you know, it's amazing in, I feel, you know, very blessed and honored that, you know, when you go through a lifetime and doing, meeting different sorts of people in your lifetime, you know, you look back and you know, people can go, hey, who you met, who changed you, who did this, your special teacher, the special person, what made you go this way, what made you go that way, and, you know, what influenced you or what happened. And there is, you know, in my life up to now, you know, in this present embodiment as Andrew Federer, of course, I've met quite a few fascinating, enlightened people in my lifetime. Of course, I've met, was introduced in some metaphysics when I lived in Israel. People check out my brief bio in my websites, in the various websites, as well as my books, about me being studying Kabbalah in a very religious sense by the Moah, who happens to be a very holy person in Israel, which, I mean, basically you walk in, you'd see, I mean, your clothes would change colors. He was definitely a sage. And at that time, I lived in Israel, and I became very religious. And, you know, I felt I was going on that sense at that time. Well, I don't want to give you my briefing too much into my background and my bio, but several years later, I came back to the United States, shortly after my father had passed away, I took over a major corporation, a construction firm. And at that time, I was trying to push away spirituality. And luckily, I feel honored and you know, it's like I said, you meet certain people in your lifetime that are very special. And there was one person who I feel very special. It was like some, I feel almost very blessed to have met a person who, I believe is almost like if you had met the Dalai Lama, I had met a person like a Dalai Lama, per se. She is not, well, is known possibly amongst the outer public, but within certain circles, she was very well known. Her name, of course, is, I'm sure you've seen it on my thing, is Janae St. Clair. I feel such an honor to have known her. Unfortunately, she had passed away in October of 95 due to liver cancer, which is a whole other story, but and a sad one indeed. But she was quite the individual, quite the person, quite the woman, the mother, the teacher, the healer. She was also an unbelievable psychic. And I feel and this show is a commemorative to her. And the reason why I decided to do a commemorative, and now I'm shooting basically like most of my shows, I just talk straight from my heart. You know, things come in certain times for various points. Janae and I usually make comments and things, and it's sort of funny because it's like things that she would say that I would say, I like reiterate, and I hear people that, you know, out of nowhere say certain things, and I know that it's been a ripple from things that she had said way back when, back in the 90s, and I know for sure that that was basically a ripple cause and effect because of her. Like I said, she was first of all well known with certain, a lot of circles, in particular in the film industry. Most have known her. She was very much of an advisor, a teacher, a healer in all projects. This is almost like prophetic to very much so to all these people, as well major corporations and major executives and CEOs and financiers around the world, from Japan, France, Germany, you name it, the United States, Latin America. And she would be like almost, she used to give readings and advice on an intercom basis as in sitting in a boardroom. I remember her having brief discussions with people who are very famous and very powerful who may have been on the verge of feeling suicidal, and she helped them through certain realities of getting over those elements in their personal lives. But coming to where every event, she used to say everything has its perfect timing. And that was always the thing that you used to imagine, like, every event you come to has its perfect timing. You know, and it does. I mean, there are certain events that happen for certain reasons, and they do. And, you know, back in July, I'm sure everybody heard me say before, I had a major event. I had a, what they call a pancreatic attack, and I had, which, because my triglycerides are high, okay? it just shot up out of nowhere, and during that time, right after, it was sort of weird, because I was like, I didn't even know, it was borderline, you know, almost ready to go on the other side of that, through that window. I'd been through that window many times, and of course, I honestly on this, because I have so many other things to do, and hope in the universe, I thank you for allowing me to do that. Kept me in these this embodiment. But right after that, what really surprised me is, and I had lost contact to her son and her daughter for several, almost 13 years, particularly due because of a discourse between her her widowed husband, who broke off, and I don't want to get into the dynamics of that, because it's like opening up dirt in a closet or skeletons in a closet of an individual. But out of nowhere, I lost contact of the of her daughter and son, and out of nowhere, her son contacted me, and we reconnected, and after 13 years, in fact, it's fascinating, because there's a special tattoo that I have a lot of tattoos on me, that's on my back, that he put a large piece on my back. And he's a great tattoo artist. And if anybody wants to contact me, if you're out in their Tennessee area, I'll be sure to give you the directions to his places in Nashville. He contacted me and wanted to know about his mother's burial site and if there's a headstone been placed on there. And I, you know, unfortunately, her husband never put a headstone, and it sort of upset my daughter, who was also deeply close to Janae. And we went ahead and, we were, you know, wanted to put one on there, but, you know, he never put one, so it was like sitting there for, God, almost 13 years, right? So, her son said, hey, I'll send you one, and I told him, hell, I'll take care of the financial situation to install it with my daughter, and so that's basically what happened. But we also kept the open lines up, and also with her daughter, and it's sort of strange how that happened, and I've always felt like I needed to really incorporate a Camarero show, and what better time than the beginning of this new year? Because a lot of things have certain meanings, like I said, in certain times and certain events, and she was a very special person in my heart, as well as numerous others. She has created a big ripple effect through many souls through around the world. People I know who may say things even on other shows or hosts have said certain things, and it's sort of funny how I know her information somehow trickled down the way, because certain words and the way she would say certain things are transponded to these other people. It's amazing. I listened to it, and it's like duplicating what she had said, and I know that these have been ripple effects because of her. She never got credit for the what she had credit, but she, you know what? She would never even ask for the credit. That's how the individual, how great she was. She used to say that the worst thing somebody can do as a spiritual leader or something who's involved in spirituality is create themselves as a demigod. So always, when you get to that place, always step back from that area. Otherwise, you're putting your own ego into it. She used to say the same thing about when doing readings. When you do a reading, she would never say, "I'm giving you a reading." It was amazing. She would, or "I'm doing the healing." What she would say, "I am just the vessel." Excuse me. Had a little burp there. Let's call it a coffee burp. You are just a vessel, and the energy you're being just as a vessel, providing the energy to help heal that person or help give of that person a reading or information. She used to say that information that she would dispose to people, or not dispose, that's not the worst word, but basically teach and lecture and give out great information, she again would say it wasn't her, she's just the vessel putting out. And it's interesting because in her name is Janet, which actually comes from French, which is also a derivative of Hebrew, which is fascinating. In Hebrew, her name was Janet, which means, literally means, God's future answer. It's sort of weird. It's almost like a, but it's like God will giving a future answer. It's like a future answer. Almost like talking into the future, God's future. So, I mean, it was, you know, going back, you know, like I said, she had created many things and developments. And this show is a commemorative tour to her and of her. And then people ask, well, who is Janae St. Clair then? Well, let me put you, Janae St. Clair basically grew up in the mountains of Kentucky. You can picture that because that's where she's from. An area near, in the very area of, I believe, Somerset, Kentucky, which is toward, I believe, toward the eastern side of Kentucky, toward the Ohio border. She was raised in a very, very strict Christian family, where they did, I forget the type of Christianity, it's sort of like a, it's like they do tongues and stuff. And her mother was obviously quite religious, but Janae had obviously born or whatever with that, her abilities. She was extremely clairvoyant, as well as audiovoyant, which means she can hear things and when people speaking, she would be able to do readings, that's doing off of phones or talking. Visually, of course, and she was just very psychic, as well as be able to create and, of course, healings. Well, her mom, being that that you know fire and you know what they call it, fire and hail, whatever Christianity, you know, believe you go to hell kind of thing. Well, if you can picture her way she grew up. It was basically almost like, I don't know, if you watched Brian De Palma's movie Carrie with Sissy Spacek. That was basically how she grew up. I mean, sure, she had all these abilities, and her mom would say, "That's the devil coming out of you." And you know, she would castigate her and ridicule her. And that's, I mean, she went through some very, very, very hard times. I mean, I don't even want to talk certain things because I feel that's not pertinent or open, but she led very, very hard life. And she used to say a comment about that, about the events that she encountered as a young girl and whatever, and she'd say that, you know, these elements, as hard as they are and how bad they are, we're our own choosing in our own lifetime. Like, we actually create these karmic events coherently with the universe, so that we experience them, and to how we relate to them is how we learn to heal and grow from these experiences. So if, like, somebody, you know, gets raped or a loved one gets murdered or there's violence, it was basically a reaction how we grew from those many events. And this is things that she would play, and she lived them, so she was able to, when she would talk to people who went through some serious things, she could relate to them because of her circumstances in her life, what she went through. In doing so, she also provided her own abilities and readings and stuff. In fact, another thing I want to outline, that she used to work, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. She used to work with a psychologist, in fact, to help individuals. They used to work together to help individuals with their, you know, psychic, with their own psyche or their own psychological problems, neurosis or whatever, and she would help them heal from those situations. And that was her main thing. She used to talk about, you know, healings and teachings and stuff. And so anyway, that was her basic background. Of course, she came to the West, and then, of course, she has two children. And when I met her, that was in 1988. That was when I was actually very in an industry, and I was doing pretty rather well, I could say, as a young kid, earning three major firms. She gave me a reading that was, when I first saw her, I went to go check her out, or whatever, and she was 100% on the nose. And she always was 100%. Now, she would say, it's not me, it's just the information that's given to me. But then she always said there's dualities, and, you know, when they give out information of some future events, you always have choice of those events to occur, so you can actually change circumstances. But there are certain events that are karmic, or no matter what road you take, you're going to hit into that situation. I met her in 88, and then she was just doing for me personally, it was just readings and whatnot. And then I started learning about healings, and she taught about healings and how to compass healings and all that, and our, you know, the auric areas and Reiki energy. She used to utilize everything. She was basically just like the Bruce Lee of that. It was amazing what she would do. And she healed so many people. I mean, not just healing in the spiritual sense, but she would literally heal people physiologically. In fact, that's how she ended up getting cancer. Part of the problem was she used to pull in the other person's energy within her and then pull it out, and then filter it, and then shoot it out. It's almost like, I don't know if The Green Mile, the movie The Green Mile, where the big black guy, I can't remember his name now, but he was the prisoner who was about on death row, and he would stick his hand in Tom Hanks' balls and pull out the, or whatever his thing, and yank out that negative energy that was causing the infection in his, like, I remember in the movie, of his kidneys or whatever, or gallbladder, and then pull that energy out. Well, she wouldn't stick her hand, of course, in there, but you get my drift. She pull that energy out and then pull it out and discharge it back into the universe. That was the way she would do it. And she was healing people even with cancer. I mean, outright healing these people. Unfortunately, she herself, after so many times, and I mean, including her husband and a lot of people, myself and a lot of people, you know, were worried about her own, you know, self-sacrifice, that she was doing this and may affect her eventually. Well, unfortunately, she did get cancer. She ended up having developing in 1994 lymphatic cancer in her breast, where they gave her like 2 to 3 months to live. That was it. So she utilized her abilities, and with the universe, as she would say, with spirituality incorporated, of course, medical, but a lot of spiritual, had healed herself within, I remember it was in February where of the following year in 1995, diagnosed in October of 93, because it was right before the earthquake in Los Angeles, and then healed herself in the summer of 94, and throughout that whole period for the next year, she was going through treatments, chemo, and all that stuff, but she had actually healed herself. Mind you, they only gave her 2 to 3 months to live, and in a year, she had healed herself completely. It was already in, I believe, it was February of 95. We realized almost a year in about 4 or 5 months. And she was completely healed. Doctors didn't know how the hell she could did this. You know? Her T count or whatever they count, you know, was better than normal. So doctors convinced her to go ahead and do a radiation treatment, just in case. And finally she went ahead and did that. I believe that was like in March of 95 or April. I know it was in the early springtime. And lo and behold, a few months later, she developed liver cancer. Well, usually you can only develop liver cancer if you smoke or drink, especially more if you drink. And she didn't do any of that. Or radiation. And unfortunately, she couldn't, you know, that just kept on compounding itself. And then, unfortunately, she had passed away with that lingering pain of liver cancer in October of 95. So it's been over 13 years. Like I said. And why I'm doing like this show is because a lot of things that I do and say have been because of Janae St. Clair. And I know there's a lot of individuals who are out there wondering, well, where does he get all his information? Well, I would just say, like she would say, a lot of it is from the universe, God and the universe giving me, and I'm just the vessel. In fact, I just do that usually. But a lot of information that I do put out, information, or even things that she had said too, both from the universe, of course, because that's the ultimate source, but also words that she would say or do, I would incorporate and say and explain and say to, you know, whether it's on my show, I've incorporated things within my book of ideologies and whatnot. Philosophy, this is the way she would, you know, use a term or something, I'd remember, and I'd put that in there as well. So, in my books, I've always dedicated my books as well, because without her, in my life at that time, I have to, you know, validate for what she had did for me, and what she has done. Not just for me, but many individuals. People ask me, thank you for giving me this information on the book or helping them or this. And I just feel I'm just part of that ripple that she was the initial pebble that was thrown in the pond. She was the person who initially threw that little pebble and it hit and it rippled. And that ripple has incorporated things around. You know, I would not be surprised that, you know, most of the individuals here that are on BBS Radio, some way, somewhere of their information ultimately came from her. It would not surprise me. In fact, a lot of things that I see that I read, even people I see from people who read or the process she brings, they bring up the ascension of 2012 things that were well way ahead. She was talking about way back then, and you know, and the way she would talk about those circumstances and events and things like that, she would bring those issues up. Ideas of people call the new age and new wave and all that, and utilizing crystals and things like that. That was way back then, but certain ways she would put elements and the way she would say certain things are now still carried forward. I hear those same ways in terms of many individuals saying those same circumstances. You know, and you know, I feel just honored to have had Janae St. Clair in my life that was able to teach me those things. And I know there are definitely many individuals out there, people, like I said, you would be surprised, who are extremely famous. I would not disclose who they are. I know who they are, and some of them I have met personally, even at her house and while she was helping them, or after or before and whatnot. And she also became very close friends to a lot of those individuals, and not just famous celebrity people, but also very powerful people in the corporate world. And it was, she also dealt from a tone of, she didn't get into the political tone of, you know, the Bilderbergs and all that stuff. She always looked at things of on a higher level, almost a universal level, that people have choices and people can always change and ultimately go right way or turn the left side. It's always their choice. And ultimately, those are the what's in control. And a lot of things she used to, you know, talk about. You know, I'll give you some examples of some of the elements that she had taught me things. And I forgot to mention one other thing. Beginning of 91, she had the idea of possibly teaching a class. Well, the class she was going to do was a one-day class. She didn't want to have a series of classes. She was going to, almost like a lecture, she was going to do one day, and here it goes, right? Well, she does the class. She decides to do it in June of 90, of that year. I believe it was 91. And lo and behold, and it was on every Wednesday night, and I remember it started like 7:30, and she started off, she had like 60 people she wanted. That's how, she didn't really want to do a big thing. She had like, I think like 15 to 20 people, I don't remember, I think it was 20 people. And then next thing you know, she was doing this class every Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night, the class got bigger and bigger, of course. She tried limiting, because she could only allow, because she always did this in her living room. At one point, the class got up to a maximum of almost, I mean, originally it was just to have like a little round circle of chairs, and, you know, she had all these couches and stuff, and that, like a circle. But then the circle became a circle, and then there came a couple rows that went behind it and behind it toward the end, and it ended up going from, you know, 10 to 15 people to almost, like, sometimes, you know, close to hitting the 30 people in her class at various times. And she tried limiting it, too, because, you know, then it was too much. But in her classes, she used to teach about different elements. She taught the very basics, you know, of, you know, spirituality 101. Some things that I brought up. Some people ask me, first thing, what do you do? And I remember thinking, bubble up. She would have you practice and learning, developing your energy and protecting. She taught how utilizing your visualization and whatnot. She also taught many things of connecting with your guides and how you identify with your guides and how you perspective of your guide energy that are out there, whether they be angels or whatnot. She dealt with angels, the angelic energies. She dealt with teaching how to heal, the different elements of healing processes. She dealt with utilizing meditations to, in regressions, in fact, one of them, which I incorporate, which she had taught in class, but she one-on-one showed me how to methodically go into regressions. and those processes, including a lot of healing processes, like I said. Also, she had a class teaching people, everyone, how to going out of body at certain element of stages, how you they do methodical. Perhaps one day, hopefully if things all work to what I'm planning to do, I would like to relocate back to Los Angeles, and perhaps, because people have always kept on asking about teaching classes, well, my classes would just be an extension of what she had taught, basically. And of course, there'd be things that are elements that are whatever the universe is providing me as well. But it is from her pebble. It is from her pebble that all be incorporated. But she like to be also including what she had taught about going out of body. And in fact, I remember her teaching me how to one-on-one, because I would, at beginnings, unconsciously states awfully going out of body, which is dream state. But there are times that I came out of circumstances of going out of body, but to teach me to go out and also learning how to protect myself when going out. In fact, she used to bring up always protect yourself, of course. But she used to also say how the worry that there's always, you know, the universe. The universe has a light side and a dark side, you know, on all elements. And for every action, there's a reaction and whatnot. And that you have to protect yourself, of course. You know, be naive, you know. Because there is both sides in the spiritual world. But also, that was things I would do. I mean, I was learning to do what they call otiot in Hebrew, which are the utterances in Kabbalah, which I found within a book, various utterances. One that she used to teach, by the way, also used in class, which I believe I incorporate that to some people. They asked me, and I presented that in Kabbalah, how to do chanting. She used to also utilize a very Kabbalistical ways of doing things. She utilizing utterances of one of God's names inside a certain chant, almost like a mantra, into bringing energy. Of course, utilizing that would actually keep your help heal, enhance yourself, and whatnot. But I had found one, I remember, that had, it was actually for creating, and I'm not going to disclose what it is, because it's not pertinent, and I feel it's not at this time, because it's like a sword of two sides, which she had even said that you use that, you have to be so grounded, so not thinking of, I don't know how to put it any clearer. You have to think like Daniel, or some people think Jesus, but think beyond unselfish, like, or whatever, totally keeping your ego totally out of it. Otherwise, any sense of negativity would be outlaid in that chant. It could backfire. Whatever you put out, of course, you can get back and bring back a karmic consequence that, you know, you would least want. Just like Hamas sending out rockets to kill little kids or little people out in the street, and, you know, there's the reaction of the Israelis bombarding and knocking out all of Gaza. I mean, for every action, there is a reaction. So you have to, she would teach that, she would show that, and that was part of her, repertoire that she taught in her classes, which, by the way, so like I said, started in 91 and carried through literally a month before she passed away, up through September of 95. So she continued these classes nonstop without a break. I don't even think she even, I'm trying to think if there was ever even a break, like a vacation. Oh, this week we're not going to do it. There may have been one or two, but it was done every Wednesday night. And you realize this is Wednesday night at 7:30. This is in Los Angeles, so it's in her place. It was on the west side of the West Side Valley, and people who don't know are familiar with the valley or in L.A., people would come from the city to go to the class, you know, at 7:30 through the traffic. It's not easy going back over what they call over the hill into the valley from the city or whatnot. It'd be pretty hard. But they did it. And like I said, and it pretty much the same people. You know, there might be various changes here and there, but there were many people who would go there, you know. And, you know, and another thing that I want to elaborate, that was her essence. She ascended almost if there was any individual that was the personification of unconditional love, that would be Janae Sinclair. I mean, she walked the talk. She didn't just say, oh, unconditional love. She actually unconditionally loved. And I have never in my lifetime met anybody that far, is holiness. And that, in that sense, is maybe that's why it was at her that, you know, she used to say, like I said, perfect timing has its timing, and maybe that's, she was used to use the word spinning off, that when people, if you heal so much and your vibration is so high, meaning that your level of intensity of your vibrational unit as an energy of your soul is so vibrating so high, she used to say that your body cannot hold it. When you finally become so healed, the reason you'd reincarnate over and over and over to constantly try to heal and establish yourself better and better, that eventually you go up and you come back and your vibration's higher and higher and higher. So eventually you would not be coming in this physical form on this particular planet because your vibration might be too strong for that, because you'd be just already that much enlightened. So therefore, in certain instances when people become so enlightened, the doors are open for them to pass on, or circumstances. And that's what she would say. So, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, maybe, in, who knows if she has reincarnated into some baby somewhere around the world today. I don't know that. But I definitely know that she was very much spinning off at the time that I did last see her, which was actually the night before she passed away. But, like I said, check it out. I mean, people who ask me, I try Googling her name, and the only thing pops up maybe is me or whatever. I'm rather surprised that people haven't out there who I know in the industry have validated what she has done for them out there. And I personally, after 13 years, I'm one person who will validate the greatness of Janae Sinclair and what she has done for me personally. And I know she, like I said, she has done so much for so many individuals. It's unfathomed. But I know in her heart, she would say, she would not necessarily need the validation. Cause she knows the universe, you know, what's to be validated. That would be for her own ego. But, I personally think that, those out there, who are listening, who may know of her, or people who may know of her, ask them if you know of Janae Sinclair. And, just ask and ask and ask. And you might be surprised. The very source of the enlightened information that you have received, that are coming out of your words, out of your hand, out of your thoughts, somewhere down the line, came from Janae Sinclair. In fact, you might call her the Einstein of spirituality, if you want to call it. She was in our lifetime. She may have not been publicly known such as the Dalai Lama or other holy sages in our lifetime, but she definitely was a holy sage. And history will show that one day, perhaps. You know, everybody says, are there prophets, you know, in the past, biblical prophets of the past? I, myself, had the opportunity to have in my lifetime of meeting several, like I said, holy people, such as the Moa, but also a great prophetess of Janae Sinclair. And I do want to, in her spiritual life, thank her for the teachings and healings and knowledge and inspirations that she has provided me, as well as the rippling effect that she has provided to many souls on this planet at this particular linear time on the planet Earth. I want to thank the universe and God for having her in my life, as well as providing the healing effects of her thoughts, her prayers, and energy. I know, like I said, I'm just almost like out of words, because there's so, it's beyond words right now, what she has done for so many people. They're just basically one word that would equate to Janae Sinclair, and that's basically love. And with that, I will close with one thing. I will say to those people out there, check out Janae Sinclair on Google it, whatever. If not, tell other people, and you would be surprised down the line where her words came from. And the last thing I want to say before I close, and this is, like I said, I was bringing up the time, the last day before she had passed away. I remember her sitting up in bed out of nowhere, and her eyes, by the way, were changing color from back and forth, from green to blue to green, and back and forth. She had almost like a aura of, the room was sort of darkened, you know, in the hospital light. There was very little light, but she had a glow that was actually lighting up the room. It was amazing. And there are certain words that I will never, ever forget that she had said to me. And basically, she had said that people need to just really get over, people are overly concerned about the little trivias around them. Well, the most important thing, and the only reason why our souls are in this embodiment on this particular time, is that love is the only reason why we are here in these embodiments, in this planet, and on this earth. And that unconditional love is the most important thing there is. It's not your car. It's not the gasoline. It's not getting a new Mercedes, having a bigger house. It's not the things. It's the most important aspect is love. And with all encompassing love is your experiences, because that's the only that luggage that you take with you. So why didn't you do it with love? Love is the most important thing. And not just love, but unconditional love. And with that, I want to thank all you out there who have been listening. Do contact me if you have any questions or things on your mind or whatever. I'll be doing some very intense shows coming up. And I will hopefully have some new, very fascinating interviews with fascinating people on various subjects. People out there who, like, from UFOs to quantum physics to spirituality and, you know, whatever's out there. I usually just follow where the universe takes me. I'm also presently right now writing my next novel, which will release in 2010, which actually deals with going out of body. And I want to thank you again for listening, and do contact me if you got any questions, comments, and do check out my blog at your leisure. And with that, I wish everybody again a very, very happy new year. I want to thank BBS Radio for having me producing my show. And y'all out there, have a great, great, great Friday, and have a beautiful weekend. God bless y'all, and thank you for listening. Bye.
I've tried to tell you, 20 times I've cried alone. Oh, with some surprise how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you really, just wanna break the ice. Do I look silly to you when I yield to your advice? When you say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words, we both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, the worse or the better, we belong together. Te aseguro que es verdad. El cariño que es sincero no se acaba con crueldad. Olvida lo que fuimos y despreciaslo más bien. Pero juntitos tenimos que la luna era de miel. Junto a ti solo es mi ángel. Como radio de luz que ha brotado el cielo. No importa por venir sin sufrir, es mi triste destino. Junto a ti hasta el fin de camino. Close your eyes and try to sleep now. Close your eyes and try to dream. Clear mind and do your best to try and wash the palate clean. We can't begin to know now how much we really care. But I hear your voice inside me and I see your face everywhere. Now I say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound. We both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, the worst of the better. We belong together. Junto a ti solo es mi angelo. Junto a ti como radio de luz que ha brotado el cielo. No importa por venir sin sufrir, es mi triste destino. Junto a ti hasta el fin de camino.